This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. We did the sweet spirit last week, and today is wisdom. Take a break from this next week. Be observing the Lord's Supper next Wednesday night. Look forward to everybody being here for that as well. And we spent some time in Proverbs chapter 8. And since we have wisdom personified in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think it's time well spent. And if you were to look at our Lord and Savior, there is an inexhaustible treasure trove of everything that we need and hopefully that we want. And if you go down to verse 14, you kind of do a mini review here. Counsel is mine. We've seen that counsel is His. To me, this is the someone ignored and even scoffed at notion that man has filled the gap to replace our Lord's wisdom. It's counsel. And so then when that happens, then man creates solutions that are apart from God's Word. They may include part of it, but it's not wholly His Word. And people run into trouble. And sound wisdom. To me, that speaks exactly like, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine in Titus. In other words, spiritually healthy. And so the wisdom that He imparts is healthy. There's nothing unhealthy about it. And verse 15 and 16, by me kings reign and princes decree justice, by me princes rule and nobles and even all the judges of the earth. The Lord sets them up and He takes them down. All right. We think, especially living in this country, we go to the polls in every 2 years, and we elect certain people. Really, the Lord's putting them into positions of power, and He can take them out just as easy. Verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. His fruit, better than all the world's treasures. Put them all together, His fruit is better. And since fruit is directly and sometimes indirectly associated with the Holy Spirit through that fruit, then I think when you talk about the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, when you talk about the fruit of the righteous in Proverbs 11, 29, and John chapter 15, 1 through 8, that has much better value to you and much better wealth to you than anything the world has to offer. Somebody asked a friend of mine years ago, and so this was an administrator in a Bible college and a student in a Bible college, and he said, how are you working on the fruit of the Spirit? He said, what are you striving to do? And it was all about working, all about you producing the fruit of the Spirit. And he kind of confused the guy. And I told him later on, I said, you can't produce any of that. You work and work and work all you want. You're not going to produce that because these are all divine things. They come through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's called the fruit of the Spirit. And if you just yield to Him, then He can manifest these through you. and should, really, that's the way that this should be done. Then we come down to 22 and 23. Start to see a little change in the chapter. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. So he is from everlasting. He always was. He still is, and he always will be. That said, I believe it's the wise person who believes God's word, all of God's word. All right? And in here we have a reference to creation, and we know from John 1:3 all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we know that, therefore, he is involved in the creation. Go back to chapter 3 of Proverbs. Look at verse 17 and verse 18. Her ways, again, speak of wisdom, the Lord's personification of that wisdom, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is the tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. So when we talk about creation and reading creation in Scripture, I think that that involves a degree of happiness and peace. Go down here to verse 19. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. It's so, to me, it's so easy to understand. And yet, with the culture we live in, it's so difficult. So we'll go through a little bit of here and hopefully get out of this chapter before it gets dark, maybe. Okay. So I want to go back to verse 23. I was set up from everlasting. Set up, a lot of times, means somebody set me up. They deceived me. That's how it's used here. From everlasting, from the beginning or even ever the earth was. To set up really has a definition about pouring out of something. In connection with the pouring out of the drink offerings at the base of an altar. But it can also mean anointed, referring to the Messiah. And you can by application read this: I was poured out as an offering from everlasting, which I come away with and see this kind of shed some light on Revelation 13. If you'll turn there, Revelation 13, then we'll go to 1 Peter. Revelation chapter 13, if you know chapter 13, it's a troublesome chapter, dealing with beasts and second beasts. Chapter 13, look at verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All right. Keep that in mind, 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You put those all together, and I see that he had planned to pour out his shed blood for our redemption before he ever created the universe. You think, how can you think beyond time? And really, you can't. But beyond time, he already planned to do this, and he did. So back when there was a beginning, there was the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the complete Godhead. Christ doesn't have a beginning and he doesn't have an end. And relatively modern science has become annoyed about this young earth idea. Even Einstein, really one of the first people who became annoyed about belief in God as a creator, and he did that because of theological implications. So he knew something, but and it bothered him. It just annoyed him. So the founder and former of the director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies also happened to be a professor at astronomy and of astronomy and geology at Columbia University. Ironically, he made this statement, such conclusions, in other words, that there's a young Earth, that God created this, come from the heart, not from the head. There's a sense in which that's true. They don't mean it that way. They think that the head rules, that your brain, your intellect, it's much superior to anything that God says that is inside. And yet he made a statement like that, really kind of mocking all of this. So I say, look, all human factors that we deal with falter in their attempt to contemplate eternity. And the reason I say that is because we're creatures of time. We don't know anything but time. We know about eternity in the past and the future, but we are born. Anybody here not get born? And we all die unless the Lord comes back for us. And we have a beginning. Our world has a beginning. Our universe has a beginning. They're all beginnings. So therefore, one of the only things we can be comfortable is Solomon's explanation here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And let's look at verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. His explanation is we have this in our heart, but we still have trouble comprehending an eternity before there was time and one who had no beginning. I mean, how do you contemplate that? That when there was nothing, there was Christ. And always. So what I look at is we take the scripture for what the scriptures for what they say, we believe them, and I believe there'll be a degree, a good, healthy degree of happiness and peace within us. I've yet to discuss anything with the evolutionists, geology or biology or all this other nonsense that has caused me to become ill at ease with the scripture, because I believe this is true. I believe there's evidence for that. Okay, so we come down to verse 24. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, and when there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. So in 26 we see that he made the earth. And before he made the earth, the evolutionary people like to jump on that. And they say, see, God's scheme really could involve millions and billions of years. And so Frank was out working, if you happen to follow him on Instagram, which I don't, Linda does, he's showing this picture of this guy Alex that he works with and this girl. And the girl is working on her doctorate, and she described to him last night they were working, I forget what they were doing, as an evolutionary biologist. And so they talked some more, and in their discussions, she said, but I believe in God. And Frank was taken back. He said, what? He said, that doesn't make any sense. He says, well, sure it does. He could have created evolution. See? And Frank said, no, it couldn't. He says, you have no idea what you're talking about. So when we were talking, I said, yeah, just go back to Genesis 1. God is a liar. He says the truth. You know, the world was created in 6 days, or it wasn't. And if it wasn't, why did he say 6 days, 24-hour days? And, you know, so he's taken a stand, but, you know, he works with these people that are all evolutionists. And he's going to have to, you know, understand that you need to stand firm on this where there are people that think you're crazy. Yeah, really. So, J. Vernon McGee, a favorite of a lot of people over the years, who wrote the Through the Bible commentary, and an avid believer in millions and millions of years in creation. And most people don't get that unless you've gone through all of this. So you have to be careful. And even somebody that you like is prone to these kind of things. So where's your safety? Right here. It's always been right here. And it always will be. All right, so then picking up from there, and believe me when I say this, how wonderful it is to read and to believe and know the truth. So when we read this, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. We weren't. No one else was. Who's the authority on creation? He is, not man. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him. We weren't, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. You know, there's some places in the earth that are not habitable. And man keeps trying to figure out ways where we can go here and we can do this. And not going to work. All right, verse 32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. And so, hearkening unto me, O children, for blessed are and happy, really, that are they that keep his ways. Be wise, hear instruction. Where do you get that from? His word. Be wise, don't refuse it. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gate. Actively involved in things, not sitting on the sidelines, not doing anything, waiting at the post of my doors. All right? Whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. As John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoso findeth me findeth life. They don't find it in any of the false gods. They don't find it in any of the idols, any of the false religions. They have to find the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only place there's life. Everything else is death. All right, now, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we're working through this, and now comes a warning. The Lord is going to speak harshly. So get ready. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. So, sinning against, and haven't we seen that the Lord told Samuel that they were not sinning against him, but against the Lord? And I think in the New Testament it says that you're not sinning against me, you're sinning against the Lord. So it's a revolving door here. And we sin against, a lot of times we sin against man, we sin against the Lord. and we're wronging our own soul. Then this part, all those who hate Christ, love me, hate me, love death. All right, can you think of people that hate Christ? Well, we live in that culture today. Our governments, the governments of the world, and even our government, you can believe in anything else except Christ and serve in our government. But if you believe Christ, then you are filled with hate speech, and we can't have that. And I mean, there are some saved people in our government, but they're laughed at, they're scoffed, and really they want to get rid of these people. Not only our government, but false religions, the cults. You're going to tell me they have a high opinion of Jesus Christ, if they had any opinion at all? That Muslim woman up there in Washington, who is anti-Jew, anti-America, and anti-Christ, and they're giving her platforms. And nobody's saying anything against that other than people that are outraged. Well, all they that hate me love death. And, you know, I think the list is kind of scary of the people that are involved with this kind of thing. So go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. In verse 1, and Jehoshaphat the king of Judah returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu the son of Hanani the seer went out to meet him, and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. It's an interesting set of questions there. Should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? The world system hates God. It hates Christ. The world system, the ecumenical movement, they hate Christ. The charismatic movement, basically, and understand the movement as a whole, hates Christ. The emergents hate Christ. They're the ones that said, we hate church, but love Jesus. Figure that out. And when these are people that talk about Christ, this is where I think this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 becomes very important, because I don't think we're talking about the same person. Our estimation and their estimation is just not the same. And so we read here, verse 4, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus which we have not preached. So who are they talking about? You know, it says they love Jesus, but they hate the church. Are they talking about our Savior, the Savior of the Bible? Who are they talking about? And these who outlaw anything to do with our Lord, when, I mean, it's pretty obvious that if they're going to believe in a Christ, it's not going to be the one of the Bible. And it's a shame. So here we go, all the way through in Proverbs chapter 8, all dealing with wisdom, and then we come down to the end, and we get a warning. He that sins against me wrongs his own soul. And all who hate me love death. I didn't say that. I didn't write that. I didn't apply that. I'm just telling you, that's what it says. And there are people that when you push them hard enough, many of them will back off. But not to the point where they'll say, well, I really don't hate them. Because of their actions, they do. Why would a government, when you understand who we are, make laws to say that if I say certain things from Scripture, they can come in and take me out and arrest me? When all we're doing is giving forth what God wrote to us, and saying there's no hatefulness about what we're saying. As a matter of fact, we're telling the truth. And if the truth says something stern, it's not because of hate, it's because of love. Because you have a love for the people to come to Christ, and love for the Christians to grow. So, you know, we know who we are. We know that our days are of this country are numbered, but still we go on and keep doing the same thing. Because in the end, we still win. And I'm glad we win. You know, I don't have my head in the sand and say, don't tell me anything about what's going on in the world. I don't want to know. Don't tell me anything about geology. See, we found a new human species today. Did you read about that? Where did they find it? I don't know. And so it's at least 50,000 years old. My face is shattered. Not hardly. No. My face stands with the young earth. And so if it's 50,000 years old, then it's before time. Because time started, you know, ran relatively, you know, what do we have, 6,000 years? And all of these things are just, every time close to Easter, they come up with a new thing. Have you ever noticed that? It'll either be something against the resurrection, something against the death of Christ, and something about the Bible. Every year. So this is a new one. They'll revisit all the other theories of resurrection here shortly. They'll go in the trash pile. Like the two manuscripts, you remember remember those? That rascal that went and took the documents out of the trash can. And said, oh, these are the earliest manuscripts ever made. Well, even unbelievers thought they were trash. So, anyway, we have the truth. We have a great Savior. We have an earth that He created. And we glory in all of that. And wisdom is going to be still, you believe this, you stay on His side. And great peace have they that love Him. And keep our minds stayed on Christ. So, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll dismiss. See, it's not dark. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this great, great chapter stuck in the book of Proverbs. And for what it should mean to each and every one of us. These are not written for just a mental exercise, but to understand that you did everything. And not anything that is made left you out. And it's just like in salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ did everything. There was nothing left for us to do but believe what He did and trust Him as our Savior. And so the consistency is all there. I'm grateful for each and everyone here that's here tonight. And that has received Christ as Savior. And we pray as always, if there's not anyone here that hasn't received Him, that they would see how great the pinpoint accuracy of His Word is. And come to receive Him as Savior. Many people, I'm grateful for holding to you as Creator, but still have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that they can put two and two together and come up with a salvation. Go with us as we go to our places tonight. Keep us safe, spiritually, physically, and give us fruit for our labor. And we pray for these that are not here tonight because of sickness. You just be with them and raise them back up again. Thank you for the good reports. And we pray for those that requests that were made tonight over and over. And we pray that we'll keep them before you. For we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ.
If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay for the full debt of your sin. Please call us, or write us, or email us in this most important matter, or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.